But even 2 weeks ago, Code Your Dreams had our newest cohort of students that started, and we had a handful of students that still needed computers, which it's November, and I couldn't believe that there were still high school students who had been learning either from a tablet or a smartphone this entire time.
Hey, it's Josh. Before we get started with this episode, I just want to ask that if you're listening, please subscribe in your podcast app so you'll get notifications when new episodes come out. And if you like this episode, share it with a friend and maybe leave a review. It will really help us out. Okay, enjoy the episode.
Breaking news tonight, the coronavirus forcing millions more Americans into virtual lockdown.
Our country wasn't built to be shut down. This is not a country that was built for this. It was not built to be shut down. America will again and soon be open for business, very soon, a lot sooner than 3 or 4 months.
There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of, you know, wondering if you're risking your life by going to work.
Welcome to Restarting America. I am Jeremy Greenberg, and I'm excited to interview Bree Kaplan, the founder and executive director of Code Your Dreams, a non-for-profit that empowers youth to innovate community solutions through code. Earlier this year, Kaplan founded Code Heroes, a coding program for children with buy one, give one charitable model to support Code Your Dream students throughout the pandemic. As a former data scientist and program director of the University of Chicago's Careers in Computer Science program, she has a passion for giving every student the technical skills and inspiration to create the change they wish to see in the world. Thank you, Bree, for being here today. So Bree, to start off, will you just kind of help share your story?
Happy to. I was a few years out of college working as a data scientist at a tech startup in Chicago, felt relatively confident in my career and wanting to give back to the community in some way. I had this idea of a program where students could take a community-focused approach to app development. I called it Code Your Dreams. Students think about problems they experience in their own lives that others in their community experience too. Each student comes up with an idea for an app that addresses or helps solve that problem. They then design, test, build, and finally pitch their amazing apps during an exciting community showcase. My idea was that students wouldn't just be builders of technology, they would also be builders of their community. So this was 3 years ago. I started a program with a small group of just 15 girls. But in teaching this program, many things surprised me, but there were three things that really stood out. One was that none of my students had computer science classes at their schools, the least surprising of these three. Two was that half of my students didn't have computer and internet access at home. And number three was that half of my students didn't even have basic science teachers at their schools. So this catapulted me into researching the inequities that exist in the education system and all of the gaps that exist and impact our students, from the education gap to the tech gap and finally the belief gap. So I saw this huge problem and need and felt like I could uniquely create a solution. So I founded this idea as Code Your Dreams. Like you said, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. And today we have multi-year programs for students from elementary school all the way up to high school, as well as for young adults from underrepresented backgrounds seeking to enter into the technology industry. And this past year, we developed programs specifically for justice-involved youth and young adults, and are partnering with a higher education partner to bring our program into prison walls.
That is very cool. Good for you. So you talked about like some of your challenges, and I'm just like thinking through what it means to be one of your students and how you've been addressing that. Will you kind of further explain how you've tackled some of these struggles and challenges that you've had?
How my students have tackled?
Have your students and how have you helped them tackle these challenges?
Definitely. So our students take on some of our community's toughest challenges, everything from mental health issues, environmental concerns, homelessness and poverty, food deserts. the list really goes on. It's amazing to see the innovative solutions that students can develop from such a young age. And the way that, or I guess the role that we play is just in giving the resources, the education, the skills to students so that they're able to see these types of problems and then build a solution that can be used in our own communities and communities all around the world.
So tell me, how are you finding these students to want to be part of your program?
It really depends. We have partnerships with schools, community centers, other community-based organizations, and then we have our own application where any student can apply. So we've had students in Chicago, Omaha, Wisconsin, New York, really just all over the U.S.
So with people all over the U.S., have you had a limit capacity at all? Is that an issue?
Definitely. So, I mean, I'd love to serve every student out there, but our capacity is just based on the number of instructors that we have, how many instructors we're able to pay. We provide stipends for our students, so it's usually a financial constraint.
So those financial constraints, how have you tackled some of those? Like how do you find the teachers to support your mission and also raise the money that you need to run this program?
Definitely. So as a nonprofit, finances are always our biggest challenge. We look to different foundations and grants that we can get, personal donations. But for a really long time, I was personally funding Code Your Dreams because I really believed in it. And that was for the first 2.5 years of the program until we received our first grant. And then more grants started coming in, larger personal donations as well. But when COVID hit, that created a really big or a high need for us, a high budget need. And so I decided to spin up a startup called Coder Heroes, and that's been helping too in terms of financially supporting the nonprofit.
So tell me about then when COVID hit and why that was a financial problem.
Sure. So when COVID hit, we transitioned really quickly into teaching online. That was thanks to my amazing curriculum development team. We immediately began working on developing asynchronous content, including a library of on-demand instructor-created videos that coincided with our synchronous curriculum. And I was really amazed by how quickly we recruited volunteers to start creating some incredible content to support students with different learning needs as well as preferences. And at the same time, we had a large number of students who needed to learn online, not just for our program, but also with their everyday schooling. And so we went to work on getting computers for every single one of our students in need. And we were really lucky. An amazing company called Meeting Tomorrow donated almost 100 laptops to us, which went a really long way. So we rented a U-Haul, picked up those laptops, and started delivering them to our students. But even 2 weeks ago, Code Your Dreams had our newest cohort of students that started, and we had a handful of students that still needed computers, which it's November, and I couldn't believe that there were still high school students who had been learning either from a tablet or a smartphone this entire time. Wow. Can you imagine just months of learning from a smartphone and even having to submit assignments that way?
Did they even tell you they were learning that way, or did you have to find out randomly?
Right. So when we are interviewing our students, we always ask them what their needs are to participate in our program. So computer, internet access. And so they let us know they just had an Android device, a smartphone that they were learning from.
Wow. That is wild. What are some of the other big challenges that you might be facing during this period then?
we have so much interest right now in our programs. There are so many after-school programs and enrichment programs that haven't been able to make the transition to virtual or just needed to close their doors due to financial constraints brought by COVID. So we've felt a huge responsibility to serve more students who are not only hungry for this specific type of program, but are also craving a productive way to spend their time. So that's put us on a really big mission to fundraise for more students. But then on top of that, we're really seeing our students struggle with the hardships of COVID and quarantine, especially for students who are also caretakers for their families. And we provide stipends for students so that they don't have to make a decision between an educational program that can completely change their life trajectory or having a part-time job. So this has been providing us with an additional challenge of finding ways to increase our students' stipends for them to help them and their families at this difficult time for our communities.
Wow. So this is pretty incredible work that you're doing, and you should be very it's very impressive, and you should be like feel really good about it. You're doing some pretty wonderful things for the world. I mean, affecting one person is a big thing, affecting lots of people, and you just talk about changing trajectory. So I'm wondering, like, how you have this mindset, and like, who or what inspires you? Is it a book you read? Is it a person? What is, I guess, inspired you now or in the past?
This one is a tough one for me because my Oma, she's my grandmother, she passed away this week. And my grandparents are definitely the people who have influenced me the most. They're both Holocaust survivors, and they... they went through so much in their early life, and then they both had a mission to always just help others and make an impact as much as possible and not let injustices happen for others. And so that was ingrained within me from a very young age, and education was always the number one thing in my household. It was always the thing that was just at the center of everything. And so I think that has always made me want to fight other injustices and then also provide high level of education for as many people as possible.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm sorry for your loss. But I think it's pretty incredible what your grandparents have inspired you to do. And there's no way they're not incredibly proud, and what you're leaving, what they're leaving behind, and their inspiration is pretty amazing. So, with that, I'm wondering, what do you think will be, the most important things for you as you move forward with your business, and just in general with the program?
We measure success in a lot of different ways, of course. Number of students that we serve, but there's also a much broader measure of impact because, you know, we want to serve as many students as possible, but we also look at, you know, the quality of classes, how much confidence is created in solving problems with technology. We look at how entire communities are impacted by these types of programs, because community is really at the center of everything we do. And so, you know, a student individually goes through the program, but they're doing user research with different community members. They're designing their apps with the community mind. They're in non-COVID times doing this research in community places and really just developing alongside the community. And so we're able to see just like a ton of inspiration for the community at large. And then of course we invite the community for our final community showcases. So in my mind, like, what is success is just being able to inspire the next community leaders and then also leaders in technology.
What we're seeing in the world, particularly in the United States, and seen this with George Floyd, and unfortunately a lot of other instances recently, that racism has become a very center stage topic with going on in the world. And I'm imagining with your program of how this is potentially going to be impacting you. So I'm wondering, how is racism being at center stage right now, being discussed, affecting you and affecting your business?
As a program, one of our main objectives is amplifying underrepresented voices. So my students, and especially my high school students, they have a lot of important opinions and ideas for what is right and what is wrong, including what solutions should look like for these important systemic problems. So as an organization, we encourage our students to think about these difficult problems and incorporate them into their innovations that they build. And I can give an example of a student that was a part of our summer intensive program this year. Her name is Jillian, and she is a ninth grade student in Chicago. She built an app called Politeia, which means the rights of citizens. And she was inspired by a conversation she was having with her friends about how they could be involved in the Black Lives Matter movement. So she built an app to help bring safety, transparency, and accountability to individuals in situations where they were being pulled over by the police. And her app records situations where individuals are coming into contact. It tracks and monitors these situations. And in her words, it really helps police and civilians alike. So I really hope, you know, that story of what Jillian was able to do with technology and make an impact shows what the younger generation can do with a platform like technology.
That is so cool. So have there been, that is really a very incredible story in a way that you've been able to help them kind of tackle their own daily challenges and teach them how to find solutions. So it seems like you kind of are at the center stage of this problem too. And I mean, it's obviously being addressed within the students you're helping, but would you give advice to other business owners or community leaders right now and how, what they could do to help fight racism?
The best advice I could just say is to listen and be open. Really, it's just been the best that I've been able to do, which has just been to ask a lot of questions and let other people stand up, especially my students, and just help them and their voices be heard. Because I think, you know, for me, my students have a lot more important things to say often than I do, which is why I work with kids, because I feel like I want to empower them to make the change that they want to see in the world. So I guess my advice would be to just as listen as much as possible and help others' voices be raised as much as possible too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great advice. Looking forward, if you can look 5 years from now, hopefully post pandemic, we're in November right now, so hopefully there's a vaccine in a couple of months. And I'm wondering, is there anything you want to take away from this pandemic that you've liked or has changed you in a good way, and then you possibly would want to kind of keep with you 5 years from now?
It's hard to think about the good things that have come from this pandemic. I'm lucky because I've been able to do everything at home from my computer. I think that something I learned was just the power of being able to connect with people online. I didn't think of making our program virtual, but I think that all of the work that we did in creating virtual resources for students, doing work into a learning management system and LMS, like those all are really putting us in the right direction for serving more students. So in that way, it has overall been positive for our organization.
Yeah. And that's definitely fair. It's hard to find parts of it. You just kind of want to get it out of your mind sometimes. So hopefully we can get there soon. So some last words of advice that I'm hoping you can give to either yourself or to other business owners or community leaders as they move forward, or just others on the podcast, of what you recommend to them and how they can keep moving forward.
I would say be positive, partner and collaborate as much as possible. For us, the secret sauce to our impact has always been our amazing partners. So for example, we're hosting Codapalooza, a Code for Good Summit, next month in partnership with another incredible nonprofit called Techlit Africa. They build computer schools in rural Africa. And so just being able to see just the rise in impact from partnering with another organization there has been incredible. Another example, today I had a meeting with Chicago Innovations, Chicago Student Invention Convention, and together we're able to bring our coding content into more Chicago public schools and libraries. And through that sort of solidarity and togetherness, we're really able to broaden our impact. I think especially in the beginning, we tried to do everything ourselves. But once we really opened ourselves up to having other organizations with aligned missions helping us and us helping them, that's where we've seen just a ton more success and growth.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So how do people go to Codapalooza if they want to go to the event?
So we're actually the first kickoff event is using a platform called Gamer Jibe. You get your own avatar and you're able to go to different parts of the event, interact with people. And so my startup, Coder Heroes, we started doing one with Coder Camp. Those were coding camps for kids. Then we had Coder Sitters, which is basically a coding instructor plus a babysitter. Now we have Coder Yoga, which is the combination of coding and yoga. It's really fun. And so the kickoff is going to have, I'm leading a Coder Yoga session. We'll have a couple of other interactive workshops, coding workshops for kids. And then the other two sessions will be, they're on different days and they'll be more traditional on Zoom with round tables and panels.
Very cool. So you should definitely, for anyone listening, you should check out that. And that sounds so much fun. Also, we'll be linking to Code Your Dreams and Coder Heroes on the show notes. So you can find Karen Bree and her companies there. And yeah, Bree, it was really a pleasure talking with you today on Restarting America and hearing your story.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Restarting America podcast. Make sure to subscribe in your podcast app and visit restarting-america.com for more episodes like this one. Restarting America is produced by 97 Switch.